Morning. Looks like some of us have the same lady for our slide, so welcome her back. It's nice to be with you all. I hope that what I have to say today will be relevant to your own practice. I do think that we're going to be talking a little bit today about health literacy more from a systems view. So I hope that as we discuss health literacy from a systems view, you can imagine that at some point you may be able to influence the system in which you are working so that health literacy can be viewed more as something that those of us who are providers and professionals can actually improve, rather than looking at it simply as a deficit of the individual. So that's kind of the theme of what I'm going to be talking about today. We have an agreed-upon definition of health literacy. That definition has been developed several years ago, and this is the definition that is in the Affordable Care Act, the degree to which individuals have the capacity to obtain, communicate, process, and understand basic health information and services needed to make appropriate health decisions. One of the interesting things about health literacy is that it really does have an impact on the appropriate use of healthcare services. Research indicates that people with limited health literacy have more hospitalizations. We're going to give a little case study of that in a second. Make greater use of emergency care, lower receipt of preventive services, poor ability to demonstrate taking medications appropriately, and a poor ability to interpret labels and health messages, and then poor overall health status and mortality rates. I'm going to introduce you to Ms. Jones. Ms. Jones is a typical patient who has limited health literacy. She is what we call at risk to be a part of involved in a crisis of care. She, when she goes to the doctor, she is often unprepared, and the doctor is not prepared either to discuss what the real problems are. The information she has available to her is too difficult for her to understand in order to make good health decisions. Mrs. Jones doesn't have health insurance, but a neighbor recommends a doctor she can visit that accepts uninsured patients. Ms. Jones visits the doctor and has to fill out a large amount of paperwork, you all may find that familiar, explain her medical history and describe the symptoms she's having. The doctor responds using medical jargon she cannot understand and sends her away with various prescriptions and written instructions on how to take care of herself. Ms. Jones is, not surprisingly, admitted to the hospital a month later due to severe symptoms and sent away with a new set of prescriptions and instructions, only returned to the hospital again 2 weeks later. So this is the cycle of crisis care from the patient's perspective. Our question, and I'm hoping that you can share that challenge with me today, is how can we keep Ms. Jones out of the hospital? How can we improve her experience in the doctor's office, and how do we let Ms. Jones take control over her treatment, and even more ideally, how can we help her have more of a prevention orientation? I want to stop for a moment in talking about Ms. Jones to tell you a little bit about what is happening at health literacy at the national level, at least in D.C. We are seeing health literacy as really reaching a tipping point. And in fact, that tipping point, we believe, was reached at a very specific point in time in 2010. I'm going to tell you four things that happened last year that help us feel confident that health literacy is really on the rise and that you'll be seeing more interventions that really speak to the improvement of health literacy in the near future. The Affordable Care Act, the National, which of course you know was released last year, the National Action Plan to Improve Health Literacy was released last year, The Plain Writing Act of 2010 was also released last year, and Healthy People 2020, which, as you may know, has had a health literacy objective in 2010, but has, I think, an even more relevant health literacy objective to your practice, and I'll tell you a little bit about that. I'm going to skip this one because my video's not working. I am going to tell you a little bit about this one, though, because it has to do with the Plain Language Act. Have you all seen House? There's a scene from House that speaks to the Plain Writing Act, where House is interviewing a woman. She comes in with problems with her with asthma, and he asks her, "Well, have you been using your inhaler?" And she says, "Oh yes, I use it all the time." And he said, "Well, that should be working." And she says, "Well, do I look stupid?" And he said, "Well, no, you don't. But why don't you pull out your inhaler and let me see how you're using it?" And she pulls out her inhaler, and of course the look on House's face is priceless, as only he can appear. But the point here is that plain language is really important to say it like it is to get to that point. The other point that this my selection of this video makes is that the teach-back method is really, really an important tool for improving health literacy in real time. And that's really what Dr. House did. He gave the patient an opportunity to tell him, her, express her understanding of how to use the tool that she had was made available to her. So this is one of the Healthy People 2020 objectives for health literacy. So we have four tools that started last year. The Affordable Health Care Act gave us four specific health literacy improving provisions. The National Action Plan for Improving Health Literacy was released last year, and it has about seven strategies, including a number of tactics like the teach-back that health professionals can use to improve health literacy. Healthy People, as I mentioned, and the Plain Writing Act of 2010 is really for the federal government, but it requires all of us to be accountable for writing all of the information that we provide in ways that people can understand it. I'm going to give you an example now of what our office does to incorporate health literacy principles into one of the tools that we're responsible for, which is a website called healthfinder.gov. This is the old healthfinder.gov. I don't know if you're familiar with the website, but as you can tell, it's like pretty busy. And about 3 years ago, we decided to revamp, redesign HealthFinder to do two things: to make it focus just on prevention and wellness, and to design it based on the health literacy needs of people with limited health literacy. So we did research on over 700 people, most of whom have limited health literacy, and we asked them questions like, not only how would you like the information presented, but also help them tell us how they needed to have health information placed and organized on the website. So this is what we developed, and I'm going to tell you a little bit about this new website. As you can see, it's a lot cleaner, and that's kind of the look of health websites today. So that's an improvement across the board. Prevention is divided. We have about 80 different prevention topics now. If you press each one, it will go into detail about one of the prevention topics. Whoops. One of the interesting things that we learned in prevention, though, is that we really needed to slim it down to 3 points. What is the overview of the topic? What are the basics? And how do you take action? We learned that making information actionable is the key. And so our website is really clean and simple, and it's all about the prevention you need to stay healthy and the preventive services you need if you go to the clinic. The My Health Finder, which is on the right over here, is one of the tools that we're most proud of because it really helps personalize health information, and we found that that certainly helps improve health literacy. The My Health Finder tool is something that if you all do have an opportunity to be more involved in prevention, you may want to use in your office, because you can, or the patient can, plug in their age and gender and pregnancy status, and up will pop the preventive services that are paid for by the ACA now, they're free, for that are personalized for them. So we are very excited about that tool, because it will help providers as well as patients really focus in on the preventive services that are right for them and the related wellness visits that they can use to take care of themselves. Now back to Ms. Jones. I wanted to kind of describe the healthcare system of the future, in which Ms. Jones has a lot of assistance in what she needs to take care of herself. Ms. Jones, again, back in the system, has diabetes, heart failure, history of depression, and, thanks to the Affordable Care Act, she has health insurance. But this time, Ms. Jones' doctors ask if she needs help filling out forms. This time, Ms. Jones' team makes sure that they understand her medical history. A teach-back method might work here. This time, Ms. Jones' team, and there is a team, schedules and coordinates a series of visits to describe her treatment. In fact, in the wellness visit, and you may know that the ACA now has three different wellness visits that are free, one for Medicare patients, one for women, and one for children. As a part of that wellness visit, and the provider of that wellness visit is not necessarily restricted to the primary care physician. So it's quite possible that you all could be involved in a wellness visit yourself. Part of the wellness visit can include a health risk appraisal. So teaching somebody how to use a health risk appraisal can be a part of Ms. Jones' visit as well. And Ms. Jones prepares healthy meals using pictorial instructions. Some of those pictorial instructions are magnets that can be put on her refrigerator, including magnets that help her understand what her instructions for taking medicine include as well. Ms. Jones has tapered off her depression medicine and walks every day. So the moral of the story of Ms. Jones is that when we take a more systems view of health literacy, that is, we step back and see that it's really the match between the complexity of the healthcare system, and not only the information, but the procedures that are involved, and the ability of a particular person. We see that it's really not necessarily a deficiency of that individual, but perhaps the behavior change needs to start with us to simplify what we're doing and what we're talking about. Many of you may have found that talking with people with limited health literacy is like talking with a CEO. At least when I worked for a technology company, that was my experience, that limited health literacy is very much like people with ADD or limited time. We need to get to the information quickly. We just know what's actionable. We want to know just what's actionable. So the idea that we are working with people who are not intelligent or who are not able to read and therefore not very motivated is really not the case. We really want to look at health literacy as something that is something that we can change when we simplify the system, make the information more actionable, and really look at the various ways that a system can make the changes that we need to make to take care of the people and help them take care of themselves.